Good morning, everyone. Today we gather to sing in words ancient and modern the parables of new life we have heard all our lives. Stories which echo our lives and our times. Welcome, everyone. It always feels to me that this Sunday is kind of sometimes people's Christmas. If you're going to be away next weekend, this is Christmas for you. And I'd like to say, as a kind of a warning, that we deviate from traditional carols, as you might have seen with the first one. And so my apologies to you if you wanted to come and sing all the old golden oldies and go away with a warm glow at your heart. Please do find another opportunity to do that during Christmas if that makes Christmas for you. But today we are using a lot of carols by New Zealand writers, and they don't always quite hit that spot of being in that sacred Christmas place, and we recognise that. But you're very welcome here today. It's good to have you with us. And you've come on a good Sunday because St Luke's Rembuera have sent morning teas to people that were affected by earthquakes, and that includes Kaikoura and us. So there's a special morning tea from St Luke's Rembuera, which we do invite you to join in with us after the service. It's great that you're here today. Let us pray, and those of you who are visitors, you need to have your card ready and find the side that says either Jesus' Prayer or the Lord's Prayer. Whether it's tension or stress or whether it's just pure excitement, it's building, we can feel it. And so in this moment of anticipation, we come for this few moments, perhaps more than an hour, so that we can sing enough carols. This moment where we can be still and we can absorb some of the beauty and the poetry and the wonder of it all. And as we seek to be 21st century followers, following a first century event, we pray for open minds and hearts, for a soul that is listening. We pray for something in today's gathering here to touch us and to give us a word to go on with into this week and the events that will come at the end of this week and then into the new year. And so may we be able to be at one with the story, with the giving of new life, so that new life may come into us too, right here and right now. And so we say together the Jesus Prayer. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Oops.
Please be seated. You see, some of the carols are so new we don't even know them very well ourselves. It sounded better and better as we went on. And the Christian World Service appeal is one that we support every year, and hopefully you have an envelope for that in your order of service. And that's an organisation that does act for children and for their families. And Christian World Service, for those of you who don't know it, is distinguished by the fact that it works with local partners. And in a wonderful period in not too far distant history, when the New Zealand government was subsidising dollar for dollar charitable organisations, Christian World Service was one of those, because the money would go to local agencies who knew the situation on the ground. Here's the story from South India. In South India, Mela and Bala attend the student parliament organised by SAND at their school. The Year 7 students know the environment is important, and the student parliament planted a herbal garden in their school grounds. A villager donated compost. SAND helped them collect seeds and young plants, including neem, tulsi, aloe vera, pepper, mint, basil and caparavali. SAND works to end child labour, encouraging their parents to send Dalit parents to send children to school rather than to work. With SAND's help, families have more income and better health. The first Advent candle represented our call to hope, the second our call to peace, the third our call to joy. Today, the fourth represents our call to love. It is a symbol of God's love revealed in a baby, love alive in us today. Love is present everywhere. We are called to be a people of love. May we love one another. May we show love to all the world. I hear children noises up the back. Are there some children up the back with a rainbow candle to be lit? Emily, you haven't lit the rainbow candle for a long time. Come on up. A rainbow candle, as you know, is a sign of inclusion, and in this case, it's a sign that we include children. Here we go. Okay. Excellent. Blow that one out. Yep. Excellent. Put it there. And Kezia, don't go away. Kezia, don't go away. Because we've got some shakers for the song. You're going to have a shaker, one on each hand? Because we're going to sing a song that's particularly bouncy, and I think it needs children shaking. Here you go, one for you and one for Mum. Yeah, here we go. Shouldn't hand out too many, no. Emily? Here we go. Okay. So everyone's going to stand and sing our next song, which is Open, Open, Open the Stable Door. And just before we do, I want to tell the adults something about one of the verses. You'll see that about three or four verses in it talks about falling off the back of a skip just lately. And Colin Gibson wrote this hymn, carol, some time ago, and it was just after in Dunedin a gay man had been beaten up and left in a skip. And that's what that verse is referring to. So let's sing a song of welcome and openness as an antidote to that kind of behaviour. So let's stand, and the children will come in on the chorus with the shakers. Please be seated. Thank you. That sounded great. Is that room for Emily's mum there? Okay, good. Well, I was about four when my granddad in England sent me a pop-up book, and I have loved pop-up books ever since. So when I was in a bookshop the other day, I couldn't resist this book. It's a pop-up book, and I thought you would like to see it. So you might be able to tell me the story. Who do you think that person is in there? It's a Christmas story. Mary, that's right. There she is. And look, haven't they done a gorgeous angel coming off the page like that? The adults can see it later. And whoa, look at this. Look at this. There they go. And they're on. Can we see anyone doing a journey? Yeah. Yep. What are they on?
I can see Mary and Joseph.
Right. Are they on a bus?
No, they're on a horse.
On a horse. Okay.
I think it's a donkey.
You think it's a donkey?
Yeah.
Okay. It's hard to tell when it's just white, isn't it? So it could be a horse, could be a donkey. And look at the town. Isn't that clever, the way the person's done that? Okay, so what do you think happens next? You think you know? What do you think happens next? They end up in the town inside. And look, someone's appeared. Who is it?
Baby
Jesus is there. Yeah, that's right. Okay, and can you see all the animals looking around the edges? Yeah, that's gorgeous, isn't it? So who might come into the story next?
I think the angels.
The angels. You're right. Look at the angels. Whoa, they're all over the book. Look at the angels. And lots of sheep. Must be in New Zealand, don't you think? Lots of sheep. And who are these people here? Who looks after sheep?
I know one of them.
Yep.
Well, they're shepherds.
They're shepherds, that's right. That's right. I was watching a nativity play once at a very small church that had a very small Sunday school, and the shepherds had been told to bow down on the word fear not, because it said, and the angel said, fear not, down went the shepherds. They were great. It was interesting when we got to the multitude of the heavenly host, because there weren't many kids left to be the multitude, and whoa, who do you think these people are? Okay, and what's that thing sticking up the top?
It's a shooting star.
It's a shooting star. That's lovely. Shooting star. A new king has been born. This is a story we know really well, isn't it? And there's everyone at the end, all together. And the angel at the top. See, I couldn't resist this book. And you see how carefully I've been opening it like this? Do you think that if I let you take this up the back of the church, you would open it just as carefully? You would? You would? Christmas is for trusting people. Now, I think there is some pens and things, but I think they've been left in the vestry. So if one of you... But this is not for colouring in. Okay, this is not for colouring in. Okay, but it's lovely that you're here today. I love having kids around on these kinds of Sundays. You don't have to take it. And if you go up the back, there'll be stuff to do. Okay, good to see you. And the next song we're singing is also new to us, and it's reflecting on the fact that some people haven't seen angels, but they've seen love shown in other ways. So we'll get Peter to play the whole of the first verse cross. And except there's something else first. Oh, do you want to pass the peace? Yeah, we'll pass the peace before we do that. He said there's a prize for the person who knows what the porker's line refers to. Come and tell me if you know which story that belongs to.
Oh, hi there. Does anyone else but us know that Broadmeadows is neither broad nor a meadow?
I don't know, but then we've only got 6 sheep. They fit fine on this empty section.
Yes, and they're jolly good old girls. And their wool is so fine for spinning. Hey, look at this one. I've just made it.
Good on you.
And most days, you know, they don't give us much trouble.
No. Oh, nice view of Soames. On a clear day, you can see forever.
Hey, good one. Hey, something else. Have you seen that new couple next door?
Yep. Oh, she looks as though she's about to pop.
She looked tired.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I was at that stage, it's no fun, especially travelling.
Wonder if it's twins.
Oh, he looks like a practical bloke. I think I saw a tool belt come off the quad bike.
Wonder how that old donkey thing went on the motorway. The traffic's so slow getting up the gorge.
Yeah.
Don't know if anyone would have noticed any difference.
Oi! What's that? Lightning? Oh, I thought we'd got over these spring thunderstorms.
Could be a quake. Remember that blue-green light people saw for the Kaikoura one?
Nah, don't be daft. Listen. Oh, no, that's the teenager next door. He should turn it down.
It's Delilah.
Delilah who? No. It's the Glamophones.
No, I've never heard an angel sing. Hey, but something's going on.
It's coming from near that new couple's house. What did you say their names were?
Joe and Mo, I think he said. From Kaikoura. They're earthquake refugees.
Oh, well, we should go and check that they're okay and see if they need anything.
Yeah, but who'll mind the sheep?
Ah, look, remember, it's neither broad nor a meadow. They can't go far.
All right, then. Let's welcome Joe and Mo to the neighbourhood.
Yeah.
Off we go.
No, well, just a minute, because we've got to find out when the baby is due. I mean, it looks like soon to me.
Wish that singing would stop.
Yeah.
You know, anyone would think something earth-shattering was happening.
Yeah.
Don't they know it's a residential area?
Oh, come on then, and don't forget your knitting.
It's a bit tricky when you've only got one leg.
Even if your attendance at church is occasional these days and you haven't opened a Bible in a while, I bet if I asked you, like I asked the little girls earlier, to tell the first Christmas story, you could do it with your eyes closed and no reference at all to Scripture. Count it off with me, you'll need 10 fingers. An angel and Mary, an astonished Joseph and his rejection of Mary, then a dream that changes his mind. Mary visits Elizabeth, her cousin, who's pregnant with the baby that will become John the Baptist. Announcement of a census, the journey to Bethlehem on a donkey, no room in the inn. The baby is born, laid in a manger, wrapped in clothes called swaddling bands in the King James Version. Shepherds in the fields are told the good news by angels and they rush down to Bethlehem to see for themselves. A while after, three mysterious strangers come from the east. Well, we think there are three because they bring three gifts and a warning of the hostile intention of Herod, the local governor. Mary and Joseph flee to Egypt with their newborn son, and Herod massacres all the boys under 2 years old. 10 events, and known to everyone, it seems. You might think that all the Gospels start this way, but they don't. Mark's Gospel and John's Gospel begin with Jesus aged around 30, we think. And the events of the starting of those two Gospels revolve around his baptism. Only Matthew and Luke have the stories that I have just run through. And to find this story, which we think is chronologically coherent, you would have to zig and zag between Matthew and Luke. An angel and Mary is in Luke. An astonished Joseph is in Matthew, and the dream is in Matthew. Mary visiting Elizabeth is in Luke. The census and the journey to Bethlehem is in Luke. The baby being born is in Luke. The shepherds in the field is in Luke. And then the three mysterious strangers, the fleeing to Egypt, and the massacre of the innocents are in Matthew. Zigzag, zigzag, zigzag. So Matthew's account seems to be, which was Matthew? Matthew's account seems to be the story of Joseph and covers the effect of the visit of the wise men. Luke, we could say, is Mary's story, the angel's visit, Mary's holiday break with Elizabeth, and so on. Both accounts are what John Dominic Crossan calls parables. The simple definition of a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And this earthly story of a birth to first-time parents, which has happened century after century, millennia after millennia, is endowed here with symbols indicating a heavenly meaning, a meaning that is more than the sum of the parts. The custom of the day, you see, was to embellish biographies of famous identities with miracles and miraculous tales. These tales act like great signposts telling us, here is a person to be watched, a boy who will become a great man, a sacred spiritual guru who is significant, a world changer. Watch this spot. We do it too. We look back through careers of great rugby players and we find cute photographs of them age 7 running the length of the field and scoring their first try. We link them with relatives that show the same aptitude. We create urban myths about them. I always wondered if Colin Meads really did carry as many fence posts around his farm all at once, as the legend said. And you may wonder about Jesus' birth story, as I do about Colin Meads' legend. Is this trustworthy? Why should I stake my life on this? You see, since we were born after 1750, yes, all of us born after 1750, and are post-Enlightenment people, we expect proper facts in our historical stories. We don't expect decoration and embellishment. And we like it when new facts are discovered and history is revised to be more accurate. But historical accuracy was not the point of these gospel stories or of other biographies of the rich and famous in Jesus' time. Significance was. What was the point of this man's life? The apparently fantastic details of the birth narratives tell us what we need to know about his significance. A virgin birth puts him up there with equal status to gods and emperors who are also credited at that time with miraculous narratives. Announcement by angels tells us this man has a divine connection. Dreams in the story also connect his birth with the world beyond our world, with mysticism and sacred purpose. The involvement of the shepherds tells us this man is for the ordinary people, even those regarded as unreliable witnesses in court and as smelly outcasts in regular society. Sorry, Francis. The visit of Eastern astrologers tells the discerning reader that the man into whom this baby would grow was for all the world, not just Jewish Israel, but the wider Gentile world as well. And the early transition into being a refugee into Egypt tells us this man's life would not be popular with the authorities, that he would be seen as an unwelcome competitor in the contemporary political world. This child is only hours old, and we have his CV before us already. When you interview someone for a job, the CV is very important because it tells you about a person that you have not yet met. And in the faith communities for whom these Gospels were written, only a few elderly eyewitnesses remained who had known and talked with Jesus. Most in those communities had never met him. They could only grasp his significance from words reported by others, by narratives such as these. They would have known the storytelling conventions of the day. They were not being conned by these stories, but being informed, shown the resume, invited to make up their own minds in their own time, in their own way. And when we apply the right interpretive keys to these ancient birth narratives, these stories are transformed. They are no longer sentimental children's tales of bumbling shepherds and enigmatic wise men. They are no longer fantastically impossible stories that a wise rationalist couldn't possibly believe. They are instead complex symbolic systems that inform our intuition and fire our imagination by conveying to us the heart of the matter. Several carols we're singing today have taken away some of the details which can fool us into thinking these stories are nostalgic, sentimental nonsense that we can safely ignore. Many of them have taken the meaning of these stories and have translated that meaning into words we know, words we understand, into the symbols of our time. I know for myself that sometimes I would rather wallow gently in the marshmallow sentimentality of manger, stable, star and angels. I rather like closing off my rational mind and letting words flow over me, particularly in well-known carols. That way, of course, it doesn't have to change our lives or make any difference to our values. It is a special sacred experience singing well-known carols, but it is one that we do not have to take out the door with us when we go. But singing a nativity summer can reach means we have to ferret out what the meaning was then and then apply that meaning to now. In a New Zealand summer at the bottom of the world, with a recent change of leadership, an impending general election, whatever Bill English says, another substantial earthquake event, and huge political upheavals in our allies in Britain and the US. So the questions tumble over us. What kind of leader do we need this baby to be in our world? What values does his birth call us to champion? Like the first century Jesus followers hearing these stories at a generation's distance, the call comes to us too. What kind of followers does the Christ child need in Wellington, New Zealand, in Christmas 2016 and the New Year 2017. To paraphrase the line from the carol, to what kind of nativity can we, in this our summer, reach and live up to? Will our nativity include everyone from outcast farm workers to wealthy, educated, wise ones? Will it keep small children safe when they are forced to become refugees? Will the way we do nativity take the mystical dimension of Jesus as a human being seriously? Will we respect and revere him as one who, though a completely different person, is more than equal to gods and emperors? And will we demand of our changing leadership here and beyond New Zealand values that Jesus would be proud of us standing for, arguing for, voting for, even if that demand irritates and annoys those leaders? Can we live a nativity worthy of the man whom this baby became in this our southern summer? As part of our response each Sunday, we bring money for the offering. And we're going to do that while we stay seated and sing the next carol. Always there's a carol waiting for a voice. This money that we bring for the continued work of this church so it can spread love further abroad, we bring with grateful hearts. And this food we bring so that others whose pantries are bare may have something on those shelves, we also bring with gratitude for that which we have been given. And we pray that those who distribute both will be able to do so with wisdom and grace. So may it be. Amen.
Let us pray. As we take time out from the mad rush of our end of year activities, we give thanks this morning for the joy of the Christmas story for the growing anticipation of it, for the hope of it. And we hold that hope in our hearts and cast our minds and our prayers a long way from our safe shores and pray for the people of Aleppo, especially those caught up in the humanitarian disaster that is unfolding in East Aleppo. May God's love be with all the people of that once prosperous and bustling city as humanitarian groups try desperately to prevent further disaster and alleviate injuries and sickness. We pray that peace is restored in Syria soon and that people can start to again live their lives free from fear, war, hunger, and destruction. Closer to home, we pray for the newly appointed leaders in the government, Prime Minister Bill English and his deputy, Paula Bennett. May they be wise and judicious and address the pressing social and environmental issues in this country quickly and effectively. We think this morning of the people of Kaikoura and the ongoing struggles to resume normal life at home and at work. And we pray for the Presbyterian faith community in Kaikoura and also the faith community of St. Luke's, Remuera, who have generously treated both our communities to morning tea as a gesture of solidarity. And we seek God's grace for all those who struggle with a mental health issue and all those who are battling ill health within our own community and more widely. May they find comfort in small things, in the company of family and friends, the blossoming red pahutukawa of the summer, and the hope, peace, joy and love that is Christmas. And in the book this morning, we are asked to pray for Tim in the intensive care unit, Dunedin Hospital, after side effects of spinal surgery. And for the mother and child as she wrestles with searching for a new home and is in dispute about what is suitable emergency housing. And for children in war-torn countries, for the occupied Gaza Strip still under siege. For all the people who died at work, leaving in the morning and not returning at night to their families. We remember especially the women of Ashburton, Wynne's office, George Tyroa, the forestry worker and the coal miners. God have mercy, Christ have mercy, and we remember their families and all who miss them. And for Ruby Quanson and Richard Davis, we wish the joys of love, respect and togetherness and celebrate their betrothal, which was celebrated yesterday. In the circle of prayer, we think today of the people of Ukraine and the Eastern Orthodox Church in Ukraine and throughout the world. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Jamie Lee Ross and Alistair Scott and the members of their electorates of Botany and Wairarapa. Here in Wellington, we pray for the leaders and people of St. David's Multicultural Parish, for Tony. And now we pray the prayer for St. Andrew's, which is on the laminated card in your order of service. And if you're visiting us today, please join in or feel free to make this a prayer for your faith community. We say together, renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
Yeah, looks like it. I'm an earthquake scientist and got a grant to study the Kikeringu Fault with GeoNet. So I've got to get in there and see what's what.
Ah, take a wise man to sort that out.
Why are you here?
I'm a roading engineer, trying to sort State Highway 1.
Need a wise man to sort that one out.
Yeah, right. Right at Christmas too. Just time for a quick Christmas dinner, perhaps, and then back to work.
Hi guys, going my way?
Well, looks like it. What are you doing here in a suit?
I'm a tourism consultant.
Oh.
My company's got a government contract to figure out how to get the Kaikoura tourism business back on the road, so to speak.
So we're all looking for the same answers to Kaikoura.
Yep. Three wise men bought here by...
Don't say star. That'd be too cheesy even for a tourism business.
How about a quake?
Well, something moved the earth anyway.
Whose fault do you think it was?
Not all the roads lead to Kaikoura yet. But we're working on that. We're bringing tar, not myrrh.
Well, we're working on the gold, the golden tourism dollars.
Well, if we can find how faults work, we'll have maybe earthquake common sense rather than frankincense.
There's always a need for three wise men.
Don't let my boss hear you say three wise men. She would be livid.
Whoa, and my wife's the same.
Sorry. Sorry, point taken. There's always a need for three wise people to follow the call.
Thank you.
tell Joy Cowley, but we're going to have some notices instead of her poem. First of all, a real big thanks to the choir who are about to come down the stairs. They joined together, you know, for just 6 weeks to practice for Christmas, and they've done a Trojan job, I think, don't you? And Vivian, their conductor. And special thanks to Peter Franklin, who went and chopped something off his finger recently. I didn't notice any difference, Peter. Now, this is a sign of hope at Christmas time. The NZMA, who are building the building next door, brought this beautiful artist's impression of what the street is going to look like when all those trucks and cyclone fencing and the crane have gone. So I'll take this up the back, and you can look at it and you can long for the moment when that is going to happen, probably towards the end of July next year, we're told. And as a congregation, you have received your first Christmas card. It's from John Schrader, and it reads, it says community on the front, one of our mural cards, which you too could have if you wished. Hi, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Thank you for your welcome and friendships over another year. Being like a second family helps to keep me stable, if still bug-eyed. I hope 2017 will be even better. Love, John Schrader. Isn't that lovely? Now, also some other things. If you got the e-news, you will know that we're collecting money to buy New World supermarket vouchers for Kaikoura. The reason for focusing on one supermarket is that there is one supermarket in Kaikoura. And we have checked out that this will work, including talking to the minister there, Alistair McNaughton. So there's a box up the back. If you've come prepared, that's great. Put the money in today. If you haven't and you get the e-news, we have got a bank account for our church there if you wish to do that. If you don't get the e-news, you might like to pick up a copy of Touchstone, a magazine at the back, because there's an article there about the Kaikoura Presbyterian Church, and it gives the bank account number for their bank account. So either way, the money could get to them. As we said before, the morning tea is from St. Luke's Remuera. I hope you enjoy it. A couple of sad things. If you haven't read your e-news, you'll know, you won't know, that David Medlin is leaving us. He's going to that Salvation Army, I don't know. And he's going to leave us on the 20th of January, and we will arrange a farewell to him in a Sunday service before then. But we're in the throes of advertising for a new David. It's going to be a fairly impossible task, but be in thoughts and prayers, please, for that process, which will happen over the Christmas New Year break. For David, it is a really positive move. Some of you will know that he's been working with the Salvation Army in Miramar on Fridays this term, and he really discovered that he wanted to be back in a pastoral ministry job. He's going back as a lay leader, not an officer, and I'm sure he'll be happy to tell you the details about that. But it's very sad for us. Another sad piece of news is that Derek Holland is very sick. Derek sometimes played the flute with Fiona and Katrina and Dwayne. You might remember last Christmas there was a flute quintet or quartet that played. He works at the Met office. He's a very quiet person, so if you don't know him, you might not have met up with him. But he is very sick with he's also very private about being ill, but he did say to me by email this week that he would appreciate your thoughts and prayers. So I need to tell you that he needs your thoughts and prayers, but the illness is aggressive, and so please surround him and his family. He has a close family, and they are gathering around him and providing him with a lot of support, his siblings. So, just a few things. There are always notices about our life. Let's sing Dream a Dream, just remaining seated, and then we'll stand for the affirmation and the final carol. You'll be interested to know that when Rosemary was ringing the three men who did our skit earlier, One of them, or two of them, said that they didn't think they were a wise man, and she said, it's an acting role. Morning tea this morning, Trump's social justice. There'll be no social justice meeting after church today. Let's sing Dream a Dream. Say the affirmation with me as much as you can. Any time of year is good for welcoming new life, whether in golden glow of autumn leaves, or fresh white snow of winter, or the freshness of spring green. Summer is a time of fullness and light, abundance of light, sun and sparkle of sea and reflection from sand. So may we allow our hearts to be full and light, affirming welcome and openness, showering hospitality over all who come near us. Let us allow our hearts to be gently warmed by the summer sun, affirming acceptance and embrace by this baby sun, affirming life which always is, in which we can always be. into this week and do all those last minute things that you always have to do. Just take the light and the love and bring new life to those that you meet. Smile at as many people as you can, because this is a stressful and difficult time for many. And know that love surrounds you every moment of every day.